नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतलय श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पश्चिचादेश धारणे ओम आज्ञनाथ मिरंदस्य ज्ञानंजना शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकधामयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे हरिवो हरिवो सो इफ यू डिड यू रिसीव द लिंक्स दैट आई सेंट वी आर गोइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम शिक्षास्तकम. I'm going to start by reading from Shikshastikam. Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Second link. Chito Dorpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahadvagni Nirvapanam Seyak Kaira Vichandrika Vitaranam Vidyavaru Jeevanam Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Pranamitasvaranam Sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam Nam Makari Bahudani Sarva Shaktis Tatrapitani Amitasmarane Nakala Etadrshi Tavakipa Bhagavan Mamapi Doradaiva Midisham Yajani Nanuraga Trinarapi Suni Chaina Tarhorapi Sahishnuna Amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari Nudranam najanam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhaktir hoit kit vahi Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavambudo Kripaya tavapara pankajashtita duli sadrisham vichintaya Nayanam galarasru dharaya, varanam gadkadaru dayagira, pulakara nichitam vapukada tava namagrahane pavishiti. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishaitam, shunaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me, ashlishava pararatam pranashtumam, adarshanam mamahatam karotuva. Yatatata va vidadatu lampato, but prananatas tu seva napara. What do we have here? Sushin Prabhu, would you like to read the first?
Yes, Maharaj. Glory to Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
Thank you. Pranka, would you like to read the next? Are you on that page?
Sorry, I can't now speak.
Oh, okay. Habadut.
Habadut,
Prabhu, are you there?
Holy name. Can you hear?
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord. I can read?
No, you'll be next. You'll be next, Mahabhu.
Oh, yes. My Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names, like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Oh, my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them.
Yes. Mahabhava Prabhu can read the next one.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking on oneself lower than the straw in the state. One should be more taller than a tree. Devoid of all sense of false and prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
Yes. Would anyone else like to read the fourth? Yes. All right,
Sushant Prabhu. Yes, ma'am. I'm reading, ma'am. Oh, Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth.
And, Avadhut Prabhu?
It is four.
No.
Five.
Number five.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet.
Mahabhava? Prabhu, would you like to read number six? Number six.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Yes, would you like to read number six?
Oh, my Lord. Yes. Yes, Maharaj. Oh, my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with pair of love following constantly? When I chant your holy name, when will my voice choke off, and when will the hair of my body stand on in at the reception of your name?
Yes, the recitation of your name. Thank you. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Oh, it's very nice that Avadhut Prabhu, you have come and joined us again after a long time.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Maharaj, actually, I actually, you know, wants to understand, actually, you know, Maharaj, actually, this meaning, Maharaj, of this.
Mm-hmm. What is that, Prabhu?
This Maharaj, actually, you know, this, what is that? Oh, Govinda, separation. This choke up. So, can chant the holy name of Lord constantly. So, Maharaj, one should chant the holy name of Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree. So, Maharaj, actually, like, you know, how to develop this, you know, humble state of mind while, you know, chanting, Maharaj?
Everything must be done in a mood of service. We have to learn how to become servants. As much as we are doing things in our own way, under our own inspiration, to satisfy whatever urges are coming to us, that is not service. We were speaking even pratyaksha, paroksha, pratyaksha, as experience, whatever experience we have in this world, whatever we are seeing, whatever we are hearing from others. Taking that as knowledge, that is also considered hostility to the Absolute. Something so simple as looking at a particular scenery. Hostility toward the Absolute. Because we don't have the mood of service in us. Even you go out preaching. It's possible that may be done on your own initiative without the order of Guru. Even chanting Hare Krishna without being ordered by Guru to do so, that is not considered service. Service means to satisfy the order of the spiritual master. When we become initiated, the spiritual master gives us a very simple service. He says, simply chant these three names, Hare Krishna Rama, in a particular way. He's giving this simple service to us. And if we do that under his direction, then it becomes service. Then it becomes the connection to Krishna is possible.
Hare Krishna?
That's the real meaning of the chanting. Because what are we doing when we're chanting? We're praying, oh my Lord, your energy of the Lord, kindly engage me in your loving devotional service. But service doesn't go direct between the living entity and Krishna. We are the energy. And just like we've been reading here, we are the servants of the serving potency of the Lord. We are the servants of Radharani, who is actually able to please Krishna. We can't do that directly. Living entity doesn't do that directly. He does that through the most elevated servitor, who knows how to please Krishna and whom Krishna is pleased by. Just like the creeper that winds around the tree, there are many leaves and branches from that creeper. Those are like the living entities and the creeper, the main creeper itself, which is embracing the tree. That is considered Srimati Radharani. So everything that we do has to be done in the mood of service, as a service. Service to Guru or service to Vaishnav. Well, we have to take up that mentality, how to develop that. That can only be done by doing it, by serving. Don't take your own initiative. Ask, how can I serve you? And perform that service. And then we will find that our chanting becomes full of mellow, relishable to the highest degree. If we have that mood. And then the humility. One who has the serving mood, that humility is automatically there. You can't serve unless you're humble. Humble means that you are giving consideration to others more than yourself. Then we can be humble. That higher consideration is given to others than to my own self. How I can please another. Not so much pleasing myself. But what is the pleasure I can give to another? How another wants something, and how I can satisfy that. Not always thinking of what I want to be satisfied, but how I can please that person to whom I feel liking or love, affection. I want to please them.
So
that is a very high stage. That is a very high stage. It's not something of the mind. It's something of the heart. Mind can't manufacture that. Heart has to be there, and that heart requires that. Before this heart can reach that stage, it requires some qualification, some purification, some preparedness has to be there before one has that kind of finer sentiment. Love of that nature, spiritual love, is of a finer sentiment. And how does one get that? That is a different matter, not a subject of rational calculation. Sincerity is required, and good association, and proper behavior, and good development of right attitude. So many things are involved in that. And the scriptures are there to give us some guidance on how to cultivate the heart and how to cultivate that mood. And it may take a long time under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav, of that high, who have already developed something of that high order, of that high nature. In their company, we may also develop that. And we can't ever think that we are ever complete in that. We're all progressing in that direction. And we all need always the association of the higher Vaishnav in order to challenge ourselves and try to reach that higher platform of utter selflessness and dedication, devotion. What other question you have?
Maharaj, actually, you know, like, you know, we are doing some service, Maharaj, all devotees are doing some service, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, how actually we should know that, you know, actually we are in proper, you know, what you can say, direction, our, we are doing, you know, in proper, we are going, you know, marching in proper direction in our service.
Yes. Like I said, who is doing it without any connection with the Vaishnav? Who is so-called serving without any connection with the Vaishnav? We have to question whether they're actually serving or not. It is imitation. I would call that imitation service. Real service means there must be a real Vaishnava there whom we are trying to satisfy. That is concrete. That is genuine service. But serving what we think in our mentality, in our imagination, doing service in the imagination, that is not service. That is imitation of what is real service. That's what I have learned from Sridhar Maharaj, actually. And Prabhupada also. We don't take seriously enough the importance of Vaishnava, of devotee, and how to serve them. Anyone can say, I'm serving. A parrot can say, I am serving. You can teach a parrot to say that I am serving. You can teach a parrot to say Hare Krishna, even. No doubt, there's benefit there, better than saying something else and doing something else. But that is a negative. That is the negative conception of service. That I'm doing this rather than some other nonsense thing. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm talking about Krishna, I'm doing this, doing that. Okay, very nice. Now you are not doing some nonsense thing. But what is real service? As I explained, this service means to a person. It must be a personal relationship. We are personalists, not impersonalists. And to serve a person, for one person to serve another person, that requires a certain mentality. A real mentality of service. And a real mentality of affection, of respect. So many things are involved. If we want to actually please someone, do something that the other, that person whom we are serving genuinely wants us to do, and is happy enough for us and us doing. So this is not a matter of doing for just another mundane person, between dealings between mundane persons. The Vaishnav, the devotee who is serving his guru, who is serving a higher person himself, has learned what is that service and has inculcated that deeply within their own hearts. They are the persons we want to serve. Because that goes to Krishna, parampara, guru parampara. Because they are not serving anything of this mortal plane. They are serving the higher plane through disciplic succession. They are not directly serving. They are also serving through their guru. Once Govinda Maharaj gave the example of the telescopic system. Telescope has many lenses, not just one lens. There are many lenses. The image from the outermost lens falls upon the next lens behind it. And that image is then again expanded and concentrated and then passed on to the next lens. And again, the image from that next lens is concentrated and passed on to the next, like that. And so when it comes to your eye, you are seeing something very far away as if it was up close and in great detail. So nothing is lost. Nothing is lost by that by following that line of disciplic succession, even though you may be very far removed from that distant object of your affection, Krishna. Really, by serving through the chain of command, the chain of service, that we are getting something closer, not farther. So by serving devotee, by serving the Vaishnava, by serving the Guru, we are actually closer to Krishna than by trying to serve Krishna so far away directly. Don't try to see that distant object directly. See it through the telescope system. Then you will come to see there's so much detail. So much fine detail will be there. And we will be able to adjust our hearts to the maximum extent like that.
So Maharaj, actually, you know, like in this world, we try to understand everything based on our, you know, mind and intelligence and, you know, our ego, Maharaj. So, yes. You know, so in that way, you can say, in that way also, sometimes we try to understand, you know, the spiritual, what you can say, scriptures and, you know, services and things like that, Maharaj. So in that way, actually, we are, you know, habituated, actually, life after life. So it's very difficult to give up that, you know, what you can say, habit. So, Maharaj, so cultivating that is, you know, is like main, what you can say, what you can say, process in devotional service.
So, yes, even that is, even that study of the scripture can be non-service, can be non-devotion, can be outside of the realm of devotional service. Why? Because Guru has not ordered it.
Yes, Maharaj.
Right? If Guru doesn't order you to study scripture and you do that anyhow, that's not service.
Yes.
So service means service. And not that
it has to be given, Maharaj. It has to be
whatever
given.
You want to do. Whatever you're thinking that you want to do, that is not service. To serve means to that there must be a person whom we are taking instruction from, who are trying to please. That is service. And that is what the central most important point of Krishna consciousness. This is our disease. We are doing what we want and forgetting that there is Krishna and he is a person and he has certain desires and wants something from us. He wants our love. He has everything he needs, of course, but he wants to reciprocate loving feelings with us. Is a fact. That is the whole network. The higher network of the spiritual realm consists only in that, where the living entity doesn't have an independent desire from that of the Lord. The living entity who desires the will of the Lord is the surrendered soul. The will of the Lord is his only will, and he has no separate will from that. That is the devotee. Who has maintaining a separate will, even so-called in relation to Krishna, does not perfect, not pure devotion. Karma Mishra Bhakti. There are so many different types of bhakti. Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra. Who is mixed with calculative, has some desire for calculative gain, or some knowledge, just to become, everyone can think, I am knowing so much. And get some honor from that knowledge. That is not devotion. Or who is doing things for, if I do this kind of devotion to Krishna, then I will become happy. I will also get some honor from others that, yes, he is such a nice devotee, such a great devotee. That, all karma mishra, jnana mishra, that's to be given up. And to reach this plane of Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, you will be tested severely. Because it is not such an easy thing, and it's very easy, rather, to think that, I am a pure devotee. Very easy to anyone can think that. Thinking is not a problem. But to be that, and we see how severe the test is, Prahlad Maharaj. He was being tortured at every moment of his life, in every detail, every aspect, even from the food he ate or whatever, his own father, as it's a flesh and blood, was tormenting him. And yet, what was his quality? My Lord, is your will fine? It's okay. I have no objection. All these things that are happening to me is your will. I'm completely submissive to that. And I'm not making any objection to any of these things. Because you are there. I can see. I know. You are present in all those things. And I am your servant. There's a real concrete understanding of Krishna. Not just imaginary. An imaginary state of Krishna consciousness, as soon as something happens to that person, oh, there's no God. Why would this happen to me? Such horrible things. How can there be God? This is the imitation devotee. Attain God, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then when some reverse in life occurs, oh, forget about this. I want to find something else that I'm not getting into so much difficulty with. There's no God. How can there be God and all these things are happening to me? No. Real spiritual life means even in the negative you see the positive. You see the positive presence of the Lord. Anyone can see God and the nice things that are happening with him. But when the things that are not nice happen, then what do you see? You think that it's not Krishna? You think Krishna is no longer there? And that is the test. And one must be severely tested to see what is your actual realization. What? How much can you see God? How much are you actually Krishna conscious? And what contamination there is left?
Maharaj, this faith.
Maharaj, we care for that person. It will only be a distraction for us.
We want to be devotees. Better to have a learned enemy than a foolish friend.
From a mundane perspective, yes. Maybe that's correct. But actually, a learned enemy could be very dangerous to you also. No? From a mundane point of view, the learned enemy, what will he do? What kind of things he can do to you? We don't know. If he's more learned than you, he may be able to take advantage of you more severely. An ignorant friend also may do damage to you. But which can do the more damage? We'll have to consider. Once I heard that Hitler, he classified people in four categories. Hitler. What was that again? Active foolish and the passive foolish. The active intelligent and the passive intelligent. There are these four classes. Prabhupada said this? I can't remember now. I know I heard this. There are four classes of men. Active intelligent, passive intelligent, active foolish, and passive foolish.
The lazy foolish is the Brahmana.
Yes, I said that.
That's the Brahmana.
Active foolish, lazy foolish.
Active
and
foolish
active
is the
intelligent Kshatriya. and lazy intelligent.
Lazy intelligent is the highest, he said.
Yeah. Lazy intelligence is the highest because he can knows how to engage because he's intelligent. He knows how to engage everyone else in activities under his direction. He doesn't have to do everything himself. Whereas under that would become the active intelligent.
The Kshatriya.
Yes, who can Prophecy. Govern, who governs, executes the mission of the, what is intelligent. He knows how to do all of that. And then below that is the lazy foolish. Lazy foolish is the next Vaishnava. Because he may be foolish, but because he's lazy, he's not doing much bad damage. But the active foolish, now he is a bad person, the very, to be feared, because he can do so much problems for everyone. With that I've heard. Is that what Prabhupada is so so clever?
I have other question here, Maharaj. Prabhupada said that we should chant in one sitting, and then there are like rules to chant in attentively, and the 10 offenses to the holy name should be avoided. And here Lord Chaitanya say that there are no hard and fast rules.
Yes.
So what's that?
In general, that is the general instruction to encourage people, don't engage in nonsense, chant Hare Krishna. That is the instruction given to everyone. Don't worry about any rules and regulations. Give up your foolish activities and chant Hare Krishna. That's the general instruction. Elementary level instruction. At least do that much. Stop all this nonsense you are doing and chant Hare Krishna. But as one wants to make progress into the more advanced stages, then more demand is made on you, more qualification is required. To the higher levels, you have to be more qualified than in the elementary levels. There are more tests that you have to pass, more stringent requirements are there. All right. Any other question? What happened to our Brunko? Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva devotee.
Maharaj, actually, he went offline, actually.
Oh, I see. All right. So now let's go to the next page that we're reading from Mahaprabhu Net, Bhagavatam 2, Okay, we're reading from this link. Now we have lost a few. If you scroll down the page, you'll see Abhideya or function, that heading. And you can follow. We are reading. We'll read the two paragraphs just before that, Abhideya or function. And it says, the function of conditioned souls is of two kinds. The function is that is provided by the Varnashram system for conditioned souls is not opposed to Shuddha Bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam has treated the Varnashram system from the point of view of unalloyed devotion. Thereby, it has provided an intelligent way of viewing the situation of conditioned souls during their sojourn in the mundane world. The spiritual value of the Varnashram system is due to the fact that it admits the possibility of the activity of conditioned souls being endowed with reflected spiritual quality by being directed towards the unalloyed service of the Absolute on the transcendental plane. Is the purpose of the Varnashram regulation to impart this direction to the activity of conditioned souls. The crucial nature of this theistic purpose of the Varnashram arrangement is fully treated in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not explicitly treated in any other Shastric work. Now, what is it saying? Now, the Varnashram system, you know, is a system of four Varnas and four Ashrams. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So these eight divisions are generally meant to keep order in the society. It's not something imposed upon the society. It is something that automatically manifests within any collective body of persons who are acting together in what is called society, social arrangement. You'll automatically find persons there who are intellectuals by nature, or administrators by nature, or warriors, or who are businessmen, or who are simple laborers. And you'll find the student class and the householder class, and those who are retired, and also there are those who are completely renounced from this world and are trying to develop their spiritual understanding, their spiritual standing as sannyas, and who are the teaching others how to do that also. So these things occur naturally in the society. It's not something imposed from outside. Anyhow, generally, the Varnashram can be seen in two ways, as either part of the world of conditioning. Everyone is born into a particular nature, and as though it's their conditioning to be either of in any one of those classes. Or it can be seen from a more transcendental Daivi Varnashram, more transcendental perspective, whereby those activities are utilized for engaging engaging in the service, furthering our engagement in the service of the Supreme Lord. And in that case, which is what the Bhagavatam is presenting to us, it shows us how to utilize or whatever proclivities we may have in this world for nicely serving the Supreme Lord in an organized way. So, in Varnashram serves Shuddha Bhakti, or pure devotion, or it can also be used just from a mundane platform to organize the society for the smooth functioning of the various activities of the citizens of that society, or the residents, members of that society, sorry. Anyhow, Mahaprabhu Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the great exponent of the unalloyed spiritual function of all souls in its highest developed state. His teaching is identical with that of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is in agreement with the principle of Kaivalya or Shudra-dvaita school to which Sridhar Swami belongs. But the Kaivalya exclusivism of the Bhagavatam is wholly different from the conception emerging in the Brahman of impersonalistic Kevala-dvaita-vad. So this is important to understand. The Shudra-bhakti is Kaivalya in the sense that only Krishna is to be served. And just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, only to me you have to surrender. So that kind of single-mindedness, withdrawal from all other types of service, immediate service of one's own senses, or the extended service of one's family, or the service of the community, or of the society, of the world, all of those things must be withdrawn and only directed to the service of Krishna. That is Kaivalya, Vaishnava Kaivalya, single-mindedness to serve Krishna, and with total faith that by doing that, all these other services that one may be concerned about, family, society, oneself, family, society, the country, the world, all those will be taken care of simply by serving Krishna, as much as all the parts of the body are served by feeding the mouth. Put it in the mouth, then the hands, the feet, the ears, the knees, whatever is there will be set, will be get the nourishment. Only the mouth has to be fed. We don't have to put nourishment in all those different parts. The water of the tree, watering of the tree goes on the root. Then all the leaves and branches get the water. We don't have to water each and every part of the tree. So the system is there. And in the same way, the whole of reality is a system. And one who understands a system through the Veda, Veda is the scientific discussion, scientific explanation of that system and how it works. And that knowledge, that scientific knowledge of Veda, we can understand that simply by serving the Lord, everything else gets the result. We'll get the result in the highest degree. So abhideya, or function. The nature of the eternal function of all unalloyed individual souls has been indicated above. Bhagavatam 1-6 declares, bhakti, or service of the Adhoksaja, the transcendental Bhagavan, absolute person, possessed of all attributes, as the function of all individuals, is the function of all individual souls in their pure spiritual state. So bhakti, or service to the transcendental absolute person, possessed of all attributes, is the function of all individual souls in their pure spiritual state. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu states that the function of Shuddha Bhakti is uncontaminated with mundane intellectual, utilitarian, ethical, or unethical activity. Shuddha Bhakti is the only proper function of all unalloyed individual souls and is located on the plane of transcendence. But all animation is potentially eligible for the transcendental service of the Absolute. Vishnu Purana states that conduct enjoined by Varnashram system derives all its value from the fact that it is that its only object is the spiritual service of Vishnu. Bhagavatam 11:17-18.
Well, I think somebody's phone is coming.
Who's that?
Saffron Prabhu? Some phone is coming for you?
It's from Yagnesh Raghava.
Oh, Yagnesh. Yagnesh, is there any phone nearby you? No, Maharaj, it's not from Yagnesh.
What's that?
Not from Yagnesh. Somebody phone is coming. Some phone is. Mobile phone or something is nearby. Mahabahu, I think.
Hare Krishna. Bhagavatam 11:17-18 distinguishes between the function of the Paramahamsa and the activities of the conditioned souls enjoined by the Varnashram system. Varnashram life is not the unalloyed spiritual life that is led by fully liberated souls. It is the stage preparatory to such life. Neither is it on par with the life of unmixed sensuousness that is led by people outside the Varnashram society. Every form of activity of conditioned souls outside the Varnashram system is inspired by meaningless, malicious hostility to the Absolute. All such activity is necessarily atheistic. This mundane world is the congenial sphere of the practice, for the practice of the deluded, dominating activity that is coveted by conditioned souls for practicing activities, active aversion towards the Absolute. The conditions for such activity are supplied by the deluding power. They constitute the realm of nescience, spiritual ignorance, or achit. But as soon as the activity of chit, or uneclipsed cognition, is aroused in the spiritual essence of the misguided soul, it dissipates by its appearance such strong addiction to the ignorant activities of this world, and also to the susceptibility of being tempted by the deluding power. I think everyone understands that. Different aspects of speculationists. There is no common ground between unalloyed spiritual function of the activity of the conditioned souls and the grip of nescience. The one does not dovetail into the other. It is for this reason that the unalloyed spiritual function can never be understood by the resources of the archaeologists, historians, allegorists, philosophers, etc. of this world. Such empiric speculations tamper the transcendental personality of the Absolute. They belong to the realm of nescience and constitute the active denial of the entity of the Absolute. By indulging in such speculations, our spiritual nature is deprived of its proper function.
Maharaj, I want to understand this, Maharaj.
What's that?
Maharaj, actually, there is no common ground between annulled spiritual function and the activity of the conditioned soul in grip of nescience.
Yes.
So, Maharaj,
what is the meaning of that?
Yes, Maharaj.
Means there is, in other words, you can't find anything spiritual. There is no spirituality. Nothing of the spiritual realm is found in the activities of the conditioned souls who are in the grip of nescience, who are in the grip of Maya, that we can't find anything there that has anything in common with the unalloyed spiritual functions of the soul. Understand? In other words, Maya activities are full of impurity, full of selfish enjoyment, spirit. And so that does not exist in the spiritual realm. None of that can be found in the spiritual realm. Those conditioned souls means those who are engaged in activities in ignorance of what is their real position. They are covered by nescience, means they are covered by ignorance. That kind of existence does not have any place in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is completely different from that kind of existence. So don't try to make a comparison. Don't try to draw any common ground between that spiritual, pure unalloyed spiritual activity and the pure mundane activity in the mode of covered by the modes of material nature. And there can be no comparison between those two realms.
There's no intersection, Maharaj.
No intersection, no overlap.
Yes.
It is not that any of those material activities that you're doing in this world can have any spiritual merit.
Yes.
Why? Because, as I was explaining, they're all self-directed. They are not controlled by the serving mood, an actual serving mood, where one is serving an actual Vaishnava, an actual devotee, and doing and his bidding. Requires total submission, humility, in order to take up that position of service for the Vaishnava. And affection. It must be done with affection also, not just a dutiful service. Well, relishable service is required.
Not professional, Maharaj.
Not professional. Not merely duty out of duty.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, Maharaj.
Genuine desire to please, of course, there may be some sense of duty associated with that at first. That may be like Shantaras, who was doing out of duty. Not even Shantaras would not even be there.
Maharaj, you were explaining once that, you know, this Jaya Vijay at the gate of, you know, Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, this, you know, like, without developing this, you know, what you can say, depending and respecting this, you know, devotees, one cannot enter into the Vaikuntha. He can be at most reached to the door of Vaikuntha. That's what you are telling, Maharaj.
Yes. The Kumaras are children, babies, actually.
Yes, Maharaj.
They're in babies' bodies. Babies' body means they don't take much responsibility for anything.
Yes.
That kind of devotion, mentality. We're not taking much responsibility for anything. Have a kind of neutral relationship with others. They're sort of dependent on others. That's good quality in spiritual life. That dependency on Krishna is a good quality. But the dependency of a baby, you can't do much service for Krishna. The dependency part is there, okay. That is a start. We must recognize that we are not independent in this world. To give cross that line of our thinking ourselves independent, there's a very important stage of development in spiritual life. We must recognize I am completely dependent like a baby upon the mercy of my Lord. Huh? If the baby doesn't have any food coming to him from the mother, then what he will do?
Die.
So he understands his complete dependence on mother, milk from the mother, like that. So that kind of mentality is very important. But if one remains at that stage of mere dependence of a baby, then where is the development of devotional attachment, of serving mood? Baby can't do much service, he can only be served. So like that, the kumaras are of that nature, only on the dependency, the neutrality, neutral dependency stage, and that very tenuous stage, at the gate of Vaikuntha only. Because they have not entered into the service world proper. Service world requires more active kind of sacrifice of oneself, giving of oneself for the pleasure of the Lord, of the devotees, as required. Then one can enter a little bit further. And if one is doing that out of awe and reverence for the devotee or the Lord, or they are much greater than me, that is one type of service, Vaikuntha. And if one enters in more intimately, then that is a higher stage of transcendental realization on the plane of Vrindavan, Dwarka, Vrindavan, and so forth. So, conduct enjoined by the Varnashram system is calculated to counteract the inherent atheistic trend of all worldly activities, which are unavoidable in the conditioned state. The distinction between the deliberate atheistic activity of misguided souls, the guided activity of persons belonging to Varnashram society, and the unalloyed spiritual function of fully liberated souls, or Paramahamsa, is hinted in such texts as Mundaka 3.1.2, Svetasvatara 4.6.7, Bhagavatam 11.11.6. And yeah, these are distinctive features of servitor that we are reading now. Activities that are prompted by the urge for sensuous enjoyment create the discordant diversity of this world. One who is addicted to worldly enjoyment has a deluded way of looking at everything. When such a person is established in the proper activity of his unalloyed spiritual nature towards his transcendental master, the only recipient of all willing services in the eternal world, the true view of everything is revealed to his serving vision. There can be no ignorance and misery if the world is viewed aright. So this is what we were explaining in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. Ordinarily, a person in his position, if he was suffering such a mistreatment, he would be considered miserable. But Prahlad Maharaj was always in ecstasy, remembering the transcendental Lord who is present everywhere and at every moment. Gaudiya Vaishnava school. The urge for sensuous enjoyment expresses itself in the institutions of family and society of worldly-minded persons. They are the traps of the deluding energy. But these very traps are used as instruments of service of the Absolute by the awakened soul. The hymns of the Bhagavatam always reveal the eternal service of the Absolute on the highest plane, identical with the personality of Sri Gaurasundar to the enlightened soul. I may refer to this in this connection to the interpretation of the Bhagavatam that has been supplied by the commentaries of the Gaudiya Vaishnava school. We read in those commentaries that the hymns of the Bhagavatam, 11, 5, 33, and 34, which seem to be in praise of Sri Ramachandra as the ideal monogamous husband, are in praise of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This is not an instance of twisting the meaning of a text to suit the whim of the commentator. The language of Srimad Bhagavatam reveals its true meaning only to the enlightened soul. That meaning is very different from what even the most renowned linguists may suppose it to be in their blind empirical vanity.
Maharaj, can just to understand a little bit this, Maharaj. This, you know, how this, you know, like praising Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Maharaj, how that is.
In other words, where Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not teaching renunciation. Most of the Vedas, much of the Vedas, much of the understanding of the mundane people of this world when it comes to spiritual life, is that we must give up this world. We must somehow or other renounce everything of this world. That is not what Vaishnava is teaching, Vaishnavism is teaching. There is a reality. There is a reality that we are, that is a even sensuous a reality in the Vaishnava world. Goloka actually means the place of what? The senses go. So Vaishnavas believe there is a sensuous reality that is spiritual, not material. And the only thing that is missing from the individual soul is the consciousness, Krishna consciousness, to see that. Just like we were telling Prahlad Maharaj, consider Shuddha Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakta, because he can see Krishna at every moment, not seeing other things. So the problem in this of the conditioned soul is that he can't see properly. It's not that the things around him, the environment, is to blame. He is to blame. We ourselves are to blame for what we are seeing. So it is not what is there, but we can't see the reality of what is there. And that is called development of Krishna consciousness. That's required. And that is our internal development. When you develop internally, you will see externally according to your internal development. Atmavan manyate jagat, as you are, so you see the world. Who is mundanely cultivated, who has mundane conditioned existence, he will see everything mundanely. And who has developed Krishna consciousness, he will see everything in the transcendental perspective.
So, Maharaj, actually, you know, like Prabhupada, I mentioned in one of the, I was reading one of the text, Maharaj, where he says that, you know, one must actually enjoy through the inner senses. So, Maharaj, actually, like this, you know, what you can say, inner senses, that is actually, you know, we are not aware of, I think. So, actually, in this world, actually, all the souls are, you know, just, they must understand everything based on their outer senses, Maharaj.
Yes.
So that inner senses, actually, we have...
Inner sense is the mind.
Yes.
So, I think I explained this once before also, that everything, our whole, 100% of our spiritual development depends on our concept, conception. If one can develop the proper conception, then everything is following from that. Whole spiritual reality will be revealed to us once we have achieved the proper conception. And proper conception is given to us through the interaction, the association with the Vaishnavas who have that conception. I can't help but be molded into that conception by the association we keep. So that has to be developed. There's not only a thought process, everything is involved there. In the conception of the Absolute, of the Supreme Truth, we have to adjust to that in relationship or association with those who have that conception. So this is very important. Otherwise, if we remain in the association, in the environment of the not misconceived persons, then certainly we will also have victims of that misconception. So there's a process of cultivation of the proper conception. Just like Prabhupada always refer to the material world as the material conception of life. So as long as one has the material conception, then he is in touch with the material world. And one who changes, can change his conception, who can cultivate their spiritual conception, he will see everything differently. Atmavan manyate jagat. As you are, so you will see everything. Is that clear?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Highest aspect of service. The Bhagavatam gives the highest position to the service of Sri Krishna by the gopis, the spiritual milkmaids of Vrindavan. In its account of the Rasa dance, circular amorous dance, it gives the clue to the distinctive nature of the services of Sri Radhika and other milkmaids. Bhagavatam 10:30-24. Sri Krishna is served by Sri Radhika herself and simultaneously by her multiple bodily forms in the shapes of the residents of Raja. The services of the other milkmaids of Nanda and Yasoda, of Sri Dham and Sudham, and of all the associates and servitors of Krishna and Raja are part and parcel of the service of Sri Radhika. Sri Gurudev belongs to this inner group of the servitors. He is the divine manifested entity for disclosing the forms and activities of all eternal servitors of Krishna. The function of Sri Gurudev is fundamental fact in the Leela of Raja, where Sri Krishna is served as the emporium of all the rasas. The servitors of Raja minister to the gratification of the senses of Krishna in every way. Sri Gurudev is the divine exciting agent of the serving activity of Raja.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Here, Maharaj, actually, like, you know, like Gurudev is actually, you know, like we understand, you know, in our in understanding, some of the explanations are there that, you know, like Lord Balaram is the original Guru. But Maharaj, actually, yes, you know, like as you are also explaining, Maharaj, one line comes from Lord Balaram and one line also comes from the, you know, Radharani, actually, Maharaj. So Maharaj, here Gurudev is explained as the servant of Srimati Radharani. So Maharaj, how, you know, these two lines, you know, how one can understand?
In general, the general Guru is Baladev. But just like we were talking about elementary and more advanced understanding of chanting Hare Krishna, you see, when you get to the higher grade, you have to take on the specialized education. You have to learn from the specialist. At first, you may have the general introductory teacher for those who are in the coming stage, neophyte stage. There's the general instruction. Oh, yes, you have to do this. This is the kind of direction you all want to go to, is teaching to the general public. But in the more advanced stages, we want to become specialized, we'll have to go to the specialist to learn those things, the more details. So Baladev, he is represented in Gaur-lila as Nitananda. Yes. And what is Nitananda's position?
Sakyaras?
No. He is going out to all the people, indiscriminately preaching, chant Hare Krishna, chant Karanga, come take this, Krishna Prem. All the people he's going to, without discrimination, who is who, what is what. So this is general, the most general, most expansive calling, representation of Krishna consciousness is found in Baladev. But on the other hand, Mahaprabhu was a little bit more restrictive. In the beginning, of course, he was chanting everyone, everywhere, chanting Hare Krishna, but later he became more restrictive and he remained only with his most intimate associates, Ramananda Roy, Srup Damodar, speaking with them and discussing very intimate details about Krishna consciousness that were not meant for the public. They were meant only for those very serious devotees of a more intimate type. So Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are not the same. Nityananda Prabhu, Baladev, is more general. Mahaprabhu is Radharani, is more specific. Now see? Mahaprabhu is representing Radharani. Nityananda Prabhu is representing Baladev. And their nature of their preaching was quite different. General and specific. Just like we have universal and particular. Is it clear?
Yes, Maharaj. A little bit,
okay. The dalliances of Sri Krishna and Raja have a close resemblance to unconventional mundane amor, sexuality, in all its forms is an essentially repulsive affair on the mundane plane. It is therefore impossible to understand how the corresponding transcendental activity can be the most exquisitely wholesome service of the Absolute. It is, however, possible to be reconciled to some extent to the truth of the narrative of the Bhagavatam if we are prepared to admit the reasonableness of the doctrine that the mundane world is the unwholesome reflection of the realm of the Absolute, and that this world appears in a scale of values that is the reverse of that which obtains in the reality of which it happens to be the shadow. So we don't want to discuss all of that, but anyhow, next time we will complete this page, and the last section we will read the Prayojana or fruit. Now it's quite late.
Yes.
If there's no more questions, we can end this session. Any questions anyone has? They'd like to ask. All right.
Maharaj.
Yes, yes. Gaurachandra.
Maharaj, actually, one Bhagavad Gita shloka I wanted to ask. Actually, there is one shloka in the second chapter. This is the 52nd verse. So actually, I was studying it in my library. So I was getting some understanding, actually. So I wanted to ask about it. Are the verses like yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyatish vyatitarishyati tada gantasi actually the gantasi nirvedam shotavyasya shutasya. The translation is
second chapter 52 verse. Alright.
Maharaj, the translation of verses, when your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard.
What is the meaning of that?
Yes, Maharaj, actually, I was wanted to ask about this. Like,
what does Prabhupada say about that?
As Prabhupada is telling about the rituals, the mundane rituals, one will become indifferent to all the mundane rituals when one goes to higher stage of bhakti gradually. But in the end, he also says one more sentence, that the last sentence, that the person in Krishna consciousness, they transcend the limit of Shabd Brahman or the range of the Vedas and Upanishads. That one will even transcend even the spiritual sound vibration, not only the material sound.
Yeah, what does it mean?
What does he say? One will transcend the spiritual sound vibration?
Yes, my persons in Krishna God.
Transcend the limit of what?
Shabda Brahman?
Or
the range of Vedas.
I see. All right, so the purpose of the Vedas, what is the meaning here is that all that has been heard and all that is to be heard is referring to the Smriti Shastra, Shruti Shastra. Shruti Shastra means the scriptures. Scriptures are heard. They are, Shruti means heard, what is heard.
Yes, ma'am.
So the scriptures are what is heard, or the Shruti Shastra. Now, that can only bring us so far. Scriptures can only bring us so far. They are pointing to the direction, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa sarvaraham eva veda. I can be understood by the Vedas. Don't think that the Vedas are simply there for you to follow and some kind of rules and regulations for, and then your business is finished. Oh, I am following Veda. I'm doing all this sacrifice, so forth and so on, chanting the mantras, and then think that business is finished. Krishna is telling you, no, that these Vedas, what is the purpose of them? Not simply that you know how to regulate your life very nicely in this world. and live a very nice, in a very nice way without creating so much problems for yourself. That's not the purpose of the Vedas. They are meant to point in the direction, here, this is what you should be going. This is what you should be doing. This is what you should be learning. What is that? How to serve, how to love Krishna, how to develop your love, prem, Krishna prem. What is the process for doing that? That don't simply stop at the flowery words of the Vedas and think, then proudly going on, chanting all those Vedas and thinking oneself to be fixed in spiritual life is not enough. You have to go beyond that. To what is the meaning? What is the meaning behind them? That can only be revealed by the devotee who has understood what is devotion, who has experienced, who has tasted devotion, complete surrender and service to the Lord, satisfaction of the Lord, who has experienced that taste. He can tell there, this is the what we are looking for. And if we hear from that, from him, of that higher thing, we will be attracted beyond the Vedas to what they are aiming at. What is their aim? What is their goal? Prayojan. Prayojan tattva. Prayojan tattva is Krishna consciousness, the goal. So, it is not enough, just like we were saying, it is not enough to read books. You won't catch the gist of what is being said by reading the book. You'll have to have the experienced teacher there to reveal the true meaning of that book. It's very important, because it's not so easy. Not so easy to know. Any other? All right, then we end here.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Dhanyavad.
Jaya Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa Parivraj, Gitaras, Tathara Sadha, Shri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare
Krishna. Dhanyavad. 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 Mahabahu Prabhu, Sudhendra Prabhu, Chagesh
Prabhu,
Gaur Chandra, Haribol, Abhidut Prabhu, Haribol, Dhanavad Sushil Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for everything.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thanks.